Well, we wrote on the board the word beware. I know it's getting close to Easter, but I feel like the Lord's been talking to me about this, so we'd like the Lord to make this something that will bless our lives. I want to first lay a foundation before we really talk about that. It's 2 Timothy, chapter 2 and 14 to 18. It says, "Of these things put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord that they strive not to words about words to no profit, but to the subverting of the hearers. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." You know, that's a pretty big call this morning, that we study, that we apply ourselves, and that we diligently seek out to find out what it is that makes us a workman approved to God. Because I believe the Lord has a way, He has a path, He has thoughts about us. He wants to bless our lives with His Spirit and with His will. And He longs to just cover our life in His presence. I believe the Lord longs for that. He longs for somebody to stop long enough to say, "Lord, I want Your will in my life. I want to know You. And I'm willing to walk with You. And I'm willing to obey You." And you know, when we do that, I believe we're going to start finding that He helps us to be a workman that doesn't need to be ashamed, that can rightly divide the word of truth. We're told that the Scriptures tell us that His thoughts are as far above our thoughts, and His ways are as far above our ways as the heavens are above the earth. That's what the Scriptures tell us. And so in the human, we find that if we just decide we're going to figure it all out, we're going to err widely, very likely. We're going to err. People err all the time in the name of religion. They kill people in the name of religion. They persecute Christ. They persecute God's people in the name of religion. They do everything in the name of religion. So many things anyway. And you know, I look at all of that and I think, surely the God of heaven wants there to be a people that knows Him. That knows Him. That knows the sound of His voice when He speaks. That knows His ways and understands what He means when He says things. The Lord, I believe, wants a people. You know, we'll learn all of our life. We'll never get to where we have no more learning. But we can walk with the one, with the great teacher, can't we? If we will. Unless we just decide that we can figure it out. We're pretty smart. We're pretty smart, aren't we? We are. All people are smart. People are amazingly intelligent. But that doesn't get them any closer to God at all. Unless they seek the Lord. And that doesn't take a great level of intelligence. It just takes a willingness. It says here, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth, but shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness, and their word will eat as doth a canker. That's like a cancer. Of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus, who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already and overthrow the faith of some. Do you know that we can leave that place where we feed at the Lord's table and where we walk with Him and where we keep an humble, a gentle, a kind spirit, a seeking spirit all of our life? We can never get beyond that. And you know, we can live in that place, or we can take a side road. And we can get involved in every kind of vain, that means worthless. Every kind of worthless and profane of this world, things of this nature, all kinds of speech and talking, all kinds of trying to figure things out that there is no answer to many times. They want to know this and want to know that, and can God make a rock big enough that he can't lift it? You know, vain things, always learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. You know, the Lord wants us to come to the knowledge of his ways and of his truth this morning. But it's going to come by us diligently, carefully following after God and studying. And I'm not just talking about studying in the manner of we study a book, but I'm talking about being studious, being diligent, being careful to follow after the ways of God, keeping our spirit honed in on that, and not allow ourselves to be dismayed, not allow ourselves to be tracked over on some other track where we find ourselves confused. We find ourselves getting an attitude. We find ourselves rebelling. We find ourselves doing things that we know in our heart we should not do. This is what happens to us when we take those side roads. But this morning, I just want us to think about this as we look into this thought of beware. The Lord really wants, he longs, he loves to walk with people. I want to look at John the 15th chapter and the 4th and 5th verse. But you know what? Before I get completely away from this, I want to reread just for a moment the verse before that we started with. Of these things put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord, that they strive not about words to no profit, but to the subverting of the hearers. A lot of things just bring strife. They bring confusion, they just bring trouble, don't they? And Paul's telling Timothy, teach these folks. There's a better way than that. There's a way that leads to spiritual health where you can rightly divide the word of truth and understand the ways of the Lord. Teach them to do that, to be studious. In John the 15th chapter, verse 4, Jesus said, abide in me, and I in you. That's more than just a casual acquaintance. It's a dwelling there. That's where you live. And Jesus said, abide in me, and I in you. Let's have that kind of relationship. And he goes on to explain what kind of relationship that is. Now, there's a lot of things in life, and every one of those things that try to sidetrack us, try to get us away from this basic thing that God wants us to depart from sinful things and walk with him. That's what he longs for in our life. And so Jesus said, abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. No more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. He's simply saying that there is a relationship with the Lord. This is what he's telling us. There is a relationship where you abide in me and you draw strength from me, and out of that comes fruit. He's saying it's just like a plant. It's just that way. That's what Jesus is saying here. And he said, if you'll abide in me and I in you, he said, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth me in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. You know, we just look at that kind of thing and think about how that God is not wanting us to try to just figure out what is it exactly now? What do I need to do here? He's wanting us to draw real close to him and say, Lord, I want to live for you. I want to feed from your word every day. I want to speak with you every day. I want you to speak with me. And you know what he says there then? The same kind of relationship is what produces fruit in plants. That relationship between the vine, the branches, and all of that, the roots and the fruit, it just comes naturally. The Lord wants to produce in us things that he said, without me, you can't do anything. You cannot do it. You can try. You can really try to do better. You can really try to understand. You can do all those things. But you know what? If we allow whatever it is to sidetrack us from that kind of a relationship with the Lord, we want to beware. There is where we begin to walk down the path that all creation seems to walk, except those who really know the Lord. This morning, help us, Lord, to walk in that kind of way, in that kind of path. In Colossians 2 and 6, now I'm going to begin to read a number of passages here where Paul and different ones begin to tell us some things about walking with the Lord. Galatians 2 and 6, as ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him. This is the same kind of thing. It says rooted as a plant. Here again, Paul is using the same kind of illustration. Rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. This is what the Lord wants in our life. He wants us to be rooted in him. He wants us to be abounding with thanksgiving. And God, help us to live like that. Without him, we can do nothing. Without him, we become a grump. Without him, we become sidetracked some way. But you know what? With the Lord, he sweetens our days, doesn't he? He changes us from who we are. He makes us into the person, the man or woman of God that he wants to make us. And established in the faith as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Beware, he says. Beware. You know what that means? That means literally to restrain or guard oneself from. Hence to regard with caution. To restrain oneself from anything that may be dangerous, injurious, or improper. To avoid or to take care. Followed by of before the thing that is to be avoided. I think the Lord wants us to have our eyes open. And Paul says here, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit. Do you know what the word spoil means? It means they come and steal your goods. They come and steal your faith and steal your peace and steal your convictions and steal the godly things that God wants to put in us. And he says, you beware that no man comes. Paul's writing to these Colossians and he's telling them, you beware, you watch out that no man comes and steals what you have. You be careful that no man steal. You be careful that your job don't steal from you your walk with God. You be careful that your affections don't get away. Now I know right here in particular he's speaking of a man or a woman spoiling us through philosophy, through their words, through their thoughts, through their amazing way of speaking and all of those things. And he says, you beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, after a worldly mind, and not of Christ. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Do you know that in Christ and in his ways dwells all the fullness of God? And it's open to us. And the Lord longs for it. He not only made it for us to be so, but then he come and died for us, that we might have that. Then he sent his Holy Spirit to prick us and to teach us and to walk with us and to tell us, turn back here, be careful. And he said that we'd hear a word, didn't he, that would tell us, this is the way, walk ye in it this morning. Oh, Strong says about spoil, to lead away as booty, that is figuratively seduce or spoil. That means to come and steal your goods. Folks, this morning, I don't know why the Lord gave me this, but I just believe that He did. And folks, the Lord help us that we don't let any man spoil us, that we don't let any kind of philosophies of men that are maybe much more eloquent than I am or that you are this morning, maybe much smarter, maybe much more studied, and all of those things. Folks, there is a simple way of truth and righteousness, and God wants to walk with us in holiness through life. If any man tells us we don't walk with God in holiness, folks, that's a philosophy of worthless deceit. Deceit this morning. The Lord help us to beware and to be careful. I was thinking about, as we get ready to go on to a number of other scriptures like this, I'm thinking about the plants. I know I like to garden a little bit. Rosie does most of the gardening, but I get in on it a little bit. And I find so many things. All the time I find, I walk out and I just see spiritual things all the time. But you know what, this morning, the best way, they say, to keep a plant healthy is to keep it in healthy soil. Keep things right. Have the soil right. Keep it watered right. Keep the sunshine on it. And you know what? You won't have too many troubles. This is what they say. This is what the books say. You won't have too many troubles with bugs and diseases if you keep it healthy. Keep our spiritual life healthy. Folks, there isn't anybody that can do it but us. We ourselves can, the only one, we're the guardian of our soul by the Lord's help. Of course, He's the guardian, but we have to watch. We have to pray. We have to be careful with our soul, because we're the ones going to turn in for it one day. And so let's keep our soul healthy. Let's make sure that every day that we read some of His Word, that we comprehend some. I know there's days that may go pretty fast, but then there's other days that we can make up for that, can't we? And that we can spend some extra time. Lord, teach me Your ways. Give me Your peace. Make me that gentle, kind, godly, humble, honest person that You want me to be. We're just not so on our own, are we? We have to have the Lord to help us. Keep our soil, keep our plants strong. We've got some plants right now that we was working to finish the greenhouse somewhat, at least finish the inside. And we kind of neglected the plants some because we didn't have time to do it all. And so we've got some tomato plants right now. They're spindly. They're just little skinny things. They're tall, taller than any of the others, but they're so spindly. Little something. I put a water hose on them here a while back, and it just blew them to the ground. Do you know, this morning, there's a problem there. The leaves are puny looking. They're yellowed. We took them out of that little pot. I know a little bit about what their problem is. They're in a little pot, and they're all bound up there. And if you don't water them every day, they just dry up. We put them in a big container where they have water all the time. And you know what? I'm expecting, and I'll probably have to cut them off, some, do some pinching off of blooms and things, trying to get those roots to grow. Do you know, this morning, I believe, folks, if we will take care of our plant, we won't have too much trouble with the rest. The bugs come along, and I know we have to take care for that, and we're going to read and talk about some of those things. But I will tell you, if we will take care of our plants, even the bugs are not so attracted to healthy plants. But they love diseased plants. They love plants that are diseased. They'll eat them up in no time. The diseases will come. They just seem to prey on those weak plants. Do you know the only one that we can be sure we're strong is us? Only we can take care of our own life. Only we can be sure that we drink from the fountain. Only we can be sure that we eat from His Word, that we do His will in our life, that we consecrate ourselves to Him. Lord, here am I. Use me. Do you know when we do that and when we live that simple little way like that, then the rest just happens, doesn't it? Yes, we work at it. You better believe it. But the rest just kind of happens. The Lord works in our life this morning. In Galatians 3 and verse 1, Paul started out here, you know, he wrote very plainly to these congregations. And here is 3 and 1 of Galatians says, "Oh, foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that ye should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth, crucified among you?" Do you know this morning, Paul just wrote that plainly to this congregation. Foolish Galatians, what have you done? Why have you allowed someone to bewitch you and take away from you that blessedness that you had? Who was this? We read, you can read all around it. It's speaking of those Jews that came in and just hammered the law on these people. You know, they began by getting saved, by believing in the Lord, and then they began to just live the old law. And they began to pick that up, and they began to be taught, this is the way it has to be. And somebody, through their vain philosophy, began to sidetrack them from that healthy, live, living relationship they were to have with the Lord. Do you know that if they had have been, I'm persuaded of that, this, if this congregation had have carefully sought the Lord and known Him and walked with Him and been careful in their lives to please God in everything, I don't believe they had be called, "Oh, foolish Galatians." I believe the reason they did this is because somebody let some things slip. They let the basic element slip of feeding upon the very Word of God, of knowing Him and allowing our spirit to be, He said, "I and you, you and me, and I and you," and however it was there, He said, you know, the Lord wants that this morning. That's what protects us. And I don't think there's any other thing that can protect us except that this morning. We will fall into some kind of error if we don't keep our plant fed. Our plant will die. And He said, without me, you can't do anything. You're not able to even keep your head on straight. You're not able to understand the way things go. These folks, they went back to the law. How could they have went back to the law after learning of Jesus Christ's loving grace and His will? Now, it's not talking about the law of God. He's talking about the old law of Moses. The law that contained not only the law of God, but it contained all the elements of circumcision and keeping Sabbath days and years and all of these things that was done away with in Christ. And they was picking up some of this. And He said, that's a foolish thing you've done. He said, you foolish Galatians, why? Who hath bewitched you that you should not obey the truth? Webster says of bewitched, to charm, to fascinate, to please to such a degree as to take away the power of resistance. Do you know this morning, in all of our studies, in all of our wonderments, or however you want to say, in all of our trials, in all of our questions, the accusations of the devil, we are to keep feeding on the Word. We're to keep our relationship with God. Don't ever let what is in our life or what wants to attack our life, don't ever let it keep us and sway us away from our relationship with the Lord. living and reading His Word, serving Him, and praying, doing His will. This morning, I just want to encourage us to resist anything that causes anything to grow in our heart. Any resistance to God. When we see attitudes begin to form, folks, that's not God. I promise you, it's not God. You know, when we begin to see those things, we can mark it right then. I don't think I got that in worship to God. I don't think God gave that to me. Did He? This morning, the Lord help us to resist anything that causes us to not be able to feed on the Word of God. You know, things can come along and discourage us, and we can just take another path. We can just decide, I don't feel like it. I don't feel like going to church. I don't feel like this. I don't feel like studying. And we can do that, can't we? You know what? If we want to go to heaven, we're going to have to be diligent all the days of our life until we get to the end of the way. All the way. Until we receive our crown. Diligent all the way. Careful all the way. Considerate of the Lord's will in our life all the way. Searching, seeking for Him, loving Him, giving of our best to the Lord. Do you know, we'll never err in that way this morning. Look at 1 Corinthians 1 and 10 to 13. And we find here, now Paul was writing, here's all these congregations, and he wrote these letters, and you know, we know that maybe he was correcting some things in some congregations. He was encouraging them as well. But 1 Corinthians 1 and 10. Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye all speak the same thing, that ye all, and that there be no divisions among you, but that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. For it hath been declared unto me of you, my brethren, by them which are the house of Chloe, that there are contentions among you. Now this I say, that every one of you saith, I am of Paul, and I am of Apollos, and I of Cephas, and I of Christ. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you, or were you baptized in the name of Paul? This kind of sounds funny to us, doesn't it? Wow, what a silly thing. You know what I have to know in my heart? Somebody did not walk with God. Or there wouldn't have been these kind of contentions among them. Somebody wasn't hearing from the Lord. Do you know, this morning, we err so easily if we take our own way. The Lord help us this morning that we love Him with all of our heart, and that we prove it by our life and by living for the Lord. I want to jump up in verse 1 now and read a little more about this congregation. Paul, called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God, and Sosthenes our brother, unto the church of God, which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints. Do we believe in holiness? Yes, we do. Right, it's all through the Bible, especially the New Testament. Called to be saints, that's holy people is what that is. With all that in every place call upon the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, both theirs and ours. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God. I'm sorry. I'm going to start over here in 3 and 1. I was in 1 and 1. I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. You know, this morning, what Paul was saying here was somebody never matured. Somebody never matured. And there was problems. And what we read... earlier in the first chapter was caused by this here. And he says, I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto you were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able. Do you know that we can't always bear everything? And the Lord knows that. And so he sends us what we can bear, what we rightly can bear. For ye are yet carnal. For whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men? For while one saith, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are ye not carnal? Who then is Paul, and who is Apollos, but ministers by whom ye believed, even as the Lord gave to every man? I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then, neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. And that's what they were missing. Somewhere, someone wasn't increasing. And so they remained babes, or they became carnal, and probably some of them fully lost out. It's my guess. That's what happens. It gets carnal, and then it gets bitter, and then people get into delusion, and they walk away from those kind of things, don't they? This morning, I believe the Lord wants us to have increase in our lives. He wants the Word to give us increase this morning. And I'm not preaching this because I think there's a bunch of strife here. I'll just tell you that right now. I'm preaching this only because I feel like the Lord just gave me this message. So this morning, the Lord help us today to, in our life, that we have increase. That the water gives us increase. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. You are God's husbandry. You are his garden. According to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. So this morning, I really believe the Lord wants there to be, folks, some mature men and women. We're not talking about people that raise themselves up above other people. We're talking about people that's not going to be hoodwinked. They're not going to follow vain philosophies. They're going to follow the Lord. They're going to hear his voice in their life and live for him. And a congregation made up of a bunch of people living like that is going to be solid as a rock, I believe. I will tell you, I don't believe the devil can come in and work among a group of people who are solidly walking with the Lord and doing his will in our lives with all of our heart. We might need a little correction once in a while, but God will do that, will he not? So I just want to challenge us this morning that we walk with the Lord and that we allow this work that he wants to do to bring the increase in our lives, that our life brings forth fruit, that he can call us, that he can call from this group right here, teachers, that he can call ministers, multiple, that he can call workers in his vineyard, that he can call people that will take up the helm and become one that has a gift of helps and is willing to do it. Do you know that's who God gives it to? We don't know what the Lord wants to do with us, but I will assure you he's got something he wants to do in your life. More than what he's doing now. I believe that for my life too. The Lord has big plans for his church. And he wants to use little people, humble people, godly people, to just simply do his will, and it works. The scripture speaks of this thing traveling like leaven. It gets in a loaf, and what happens? Did somebody tear the loaf all up and blow it all up? And all? No, you can't even see it. It just works because the leaven is there. And the loaf begins to rise, and it begins to do its work. And the work of God is like that. The Lord don't have super giants. He just has little people that he works through. and that he speaks to and that he lives through, and that in their little corner he works through. And then if he needs them, like Daniel, he takes them up before the king. Or like Paul, he takes them before kings. The Lord just has little people that he wants to work through today. Will we be one of those today? Will we mature in our life where that God can use our life and put his finger on us? And oh, he has a way of changing all the things around in a day, doesn't he? There was Joseph down there in prison. All those years he was in prison. And one day he found out, what was it, just a matter of one day, wasn't it? He found out all of a sudden he was going to be the second ruler in Egypt. God can do those kind of things, can't he? He just needed a little humble servant that wanted to serve God, whether he's in prison or whether he's the king or whatever. That's all God wants today. He wants people that want to serve God this morning. Oh, I urge us all, give our lives to him. Lord, I'm going to walk with you. I'm going to know you. I'm going to be aware of the things that Satan has on every hand. And I want to live for you in that way. 2 Peter 3 and 16 is another place. Second Peter 3 and 16, it says, as in all his epistles. Now this is Peter writing about Paul's writings. And he said, as in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, end time things he was speaking of there, I believe, in which are some things hard to be understood. Some things are hard to be understood, aren't they? Do you understand everything perfect? I don't. Some things are hard to be understood, but here's the difference. He said, which they that are unlearned and unstable, they twist. He says rest, which means to twist, as they do also the other scriptures unto their own destruction. Ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware, lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Do you know that what he says is the same way we find it in the other places somewhat? We find him on one hand, beware. This is what happens. Now grow. Now be there. Be in that place that you're not unstable. Be in that place that there's something in you that says, this is the way, walk you in it. Be in that place that something says, there's something wrong with this. You know, the Spirit of God wants to say that to us today. The Lord help us to hear from his Spirit and be guided by his Spirit. We look over in Revelation 2 and 1. I was thinking a little, this isn't what we're talking about in Revelations, but I was thinking a little about children. And the scripture relates spiritual immaturity to children. You know, children are fun. They're awesome. They're a blessing. But the Lord wants us to grow, doesn't he? He wants those little children. I'm glad my children didn't stay little children. I'm glad they grew up. Do you know this morning, that's what God's little children, he wants us to do. Grow. Grow up. Grow in the Lord. Grow in his grace. Grow. Feed from that vine and produce fruit in our lives. I believe the Lord longs to do that. Now listen to what he says in Revelation 2 and 1. He says, unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write. Now I believe he's just speaking of the pastors here. He's just speaking of the messenger that is at that congregation. And he said, these things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. I know thy works and thy labor and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil. And thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars. and hast borne and hast patience, and for my name's sake hast labored and hast not fainted. But there's a problem. Nevertheless, I know you know a lot, Ephesus. I know you've been there. I know you've suffered for my name. I know that you have held the truth. I know you've held those things, but there's something missing. And he says, I have somewhat against thee because thou hast left thy first love. You're not loving me like you were. You're not walking with me. You're walking in the light that you had, and that light is still guiding you somewhat. But you've left the light itself. You're walking in what you know, but you're not walking in me. You're not loving me. Listen, when we get close to the Lord, we begin to love Him. He lets us go through some hard things, and He loves us in those things, and we begin to love Him. And before long, we would die for Him. Before long, I believe we would die for Him. I believe there's many here that would gladly die for Him. You know, the Lord wants us, I believe, to have a love that it's not contingent on the fact that we're prospering right now or things are doing okay or life is jolly right now. I believe the Lord wants a people that, folks, that we love Him. We can only love Him as we really get close to Him. Remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and will remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. Oh, the Lord, help us this morning that we walk with Him and do His will. I know we're about out of time. I want to read a few more. Revelations 2 and 12. Here's another congregation. I wanted to read these partly because, folks, we are a congregation also. We are an old congregation here. What would the Lord write to us? Can we, as an old congregation, can we be in health? Can we be spiritually vibrant and alive? I believe we can. I believe the Lord is here. It's awesome many times. But I will tell you, the Lord wants to challenge us this morning. Walk with Him. Walk with Him. Don't let our first love fall away from our life. Okay, this was in verse 12. And to the angel of the church in Pergamos write, these things saith he which hath the sharp sword with two edges. I know thy works and where thou dwellest, even where Satan's seat is. And thou holdest fast my name, and hast not denied my faith, even in the days when Antipas was my faithful martyr, who was slain among you where Satan dwelleth. I know, folks, you've been under it. I know Satan has attacked you, he says. I know that one of yours was martyred, and you stood true, and you stood by him. But I have a few things against thee, because thou hast there them that hold the doctrine of Balaam, who taught Balak to cast a stumbling block before the children of Israel, to eat things sacrificed unto idols, and to commit fornication. So hast thou also them that hold the doctrine of the Nicolaitans, which thing I hate. Repent, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and will fight against them with the sword of my mouth. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. So this morning, I know we could go all through those which were not, but let's remember the valuable lessons that we get from those things. God help us this morning that we see ourselves where we are. We either walk with God and know His voice, or we are very, very vulnerable. We're very vulnerable. Whatever it is that might take us away, whether it's vain philosophy, whether it's just that we just can't find time, we just can't do it. Folks, there is nothing that we should allow to stand in our way of knowing the Lord in a live relationship where we drink from His Word and from Him. I'll just quickly say these few other scriptures. 1 John 4 and 1. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is it in the world. You know what the spirit of Antichrist is? Folks, it's that is against Christ. And many times they professed Christ even. But he says if the spirit doesn't confess him, if their mouth does, but their life doesn't, if our life says, I know the Lord, that's why I believe 1 John was written. Because there was a group of people that professed a very high profession and yet didn't know the Lord. Do you know this morning, he says, hereby know we, this is 1 John, that hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. You can't make holiness happen. You can't hide it to happen. It's either there or it's not. And so this morning, we love holiness, don't we? The Lord help us today that our lives, that our spirit confesses that we're one of God's children and that we are in Him. You know, He told us over in Matthew 7, beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing. They look like a sheep. They talk like a sheep. They're just not a sheep. He says, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Beware of false prophets. He says, ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. And then in 2 Peter 2 and 19, I like to print my scriptures. It goes on to say, while they promise them liberty, that's not a new thing. It's not a new trick of Satan, but it's something we need to beware of. Way back in the time of Paul, they were doing this. And he says here, this is Peter actually, while they promise them liberty, they themselves are the servants of corruption. For of whom a man is overcome, of the same is he brought in bondage. For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world, through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome, the latter end is worse than with them than the beginning. So the Lord tells us that He says, let us keep the feast, not there, but this is in 1 Corinthians 5. Let us keep the feast not with old leaven, neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness. If what creeps into our life is malice or wickedness or bad spirit, bad attitudes, those kind of things, folks, he says, neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. God help us this morning that we will keep the feast of the Lord, that we will keep His ways with the unleavened bread of sincerity and of truth and of walking with the Lord. The Lord help each one of us today to walk with Him and to love Him. I really believe, folks, if we'll do that, I don't believe we'll be sidetracked. If we'll do that, we'll make it to heaven one day. Y'all pray for me.